Welcome to Living Waters Church, a community with Jesus at the center, shaped by scripture, dependent on his spirit, following together. For more resources, information, and news, check out our website, lwchurch.ca, and get connected.
Hey folks, my name is Mike, and I'm on our ministry team here at Living Waters. I'm happy to be sharing today as we celebrate water baptisms and stories in our in-person gatherings. We love celebrating water baptisms and hearing stories. Over the past 14 years while I've been here at Living Waters, I don't think there's been a time someone has shared their story or has gotten water baptized that our community hasn't ecstatically cheered for them. Our community loves to celebrate. You see, it takes guts to share your story. It's pretty vulnerable to share with a group of people. But how beautiful our stories are, rust and all. It's a big deal to share your story, and it's a big deal for it to be received well. And so thank you for being a community that receives stories well. They're not rejected, they're not discredited, they're not judged or mocked. In fact, it's the opposite. We allow ourselves to be ministered to when we hear someone else's story. I'm reminded of how God relates with me when I hear about how God relates with you. So this is a significant part of being a Jesus-centered community. And it's also really fun. We get to laugh, we get to joke, we get to take what we do seriously, but not ourselves too seriously. I remember a number of years ago, I was baptizing someone in the river who was much taller and bigger than me. And when he went under the water, you see, one's faith is not only in Jesus, but in the strength of the person who's bringing him up. I'm not known for my strength. But when I was lifting him up, as he was bigger and taller than me, I actually dragged myself under, and he had to get up out of the water himself. We were in the river, so I actually pushed myself out into the river, and I had to swim back to shore a little bit to get my footing. However you end up surviving baptism, this symbolic step shows us externally the transformation that's happening internally. Just as they have received Jesus, they reveal to us outwardly, concretely, without question, the decision to follow Jesus. Jesus has been invited into our lives as our Savior. And Galatians 3 says, "For all who have been baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ." A number of years ago, one of our youth leaders, as we were sitting down with a youth wanting to be baptized, she phrased baptism like this: when you invite Jesus into your life, it's an immediate internal transformation, a party inside. But now we bring the party outside. How beautiful that is. Romans 6 tells us that in baptism, we are buried with Christ in his death. We bury our old self, ruled by sin. We bury our past before we receive Jesus as our Lord. We are joined with Jesus in his death. But thankfully, we don't stay down or because of someone's lack of strength, can't be pushed up. Instead, we are raised to new life, a new self. We join with Jesus in his resurrection. We unite with Jesus in his death. We unite with Jesus in his resurrection. No longer bound to sin, but alive in Christ. Sin is no longer our master, as Romans 6 says. We are not under the law, but under grace. And that seems to be a weight that's lifted rather than an expectation to carry. We abide by Christ rather than the law. And grace becomes something that we received and continue to receive. And then it tends to be something we are more full of, and especially as we walk closer with Jesus and his Holy Spirit. We've had a beautiful past couple Sundays here at Living Waters. We've been talking about our name, living water, how the Holy Spirit empowers us. It flows in us and out through us, not as a trickling stream, but as an abundant, vibrant river, overflowing, bringing life and transformation. The Holy Spirit leads us into all truth and into new life. I'd be so curious of your experience these past two Sundays if you've joined us. Those being baptized today and those who experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit, these are maturing moments for us. This is a beginning, not an end. We don't stay here with our walk with Jesus. We're invited into much more, actually, to know him more, to experience him more, to receive more from him, and to pour out that which we receive. And the beautiful thing is that this invitation is not a weight to carry, but it's a grace to receive. It's a gift to receive. This summer, we've been hearing a lot about Paul, who wrote Thessalonians. We spent a lot of time in that book this summer. He also wrote a letter to a group of new, young, and maturing believers in a town called Colossae. So this town of Colossae was once a thriving, important city several hundred years prior to Paul's letter to them. But during the time of this letter, it was dwindling down as maybe an insignificant market town. And while Paul was ministering to nearby Ephesus, and you can read that letter to them in Ephesians, many people began to receive Jesus as their Lord. The gospel was spreading in the area. And because Colossae was a much smaller neighboring town, the influence began to spread. And people in Colossae discovered more and more about Jesus. And a community of young and maturing believers began to form, much like us here at Living Waters Church, young and maturing believers. So this was a particularly exciting moment for Paul. And so he wrote this letter, as one scholar says, as a full-length portrait of Christ, the book of Colossians. They're discovering more and more about Jesus. They're receiving Jesus as their Lord. And Paul is telling them how to get going, how to keep going. He wanted them to be united in their love, encouraged in heart, and have the riches of understanding to know the true Christ. And so Colossians 2 is where we're going to settle a bit today. And it says this: "So then, just as you received Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." There's a lot for us here. We're young in our faith. We're maturing, we're growing, we're taking new steps, we're maturing. But just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to. It's like receiving Jesus isn't the end of our journey. And Paul is saying not for us not to swerve away from the Jesus we first encountered or why you were drawn to him. You see, we change, we grow older, we experience joys in our life. We experience tragedies. We experience good news, but we also get bad news. We have influences that shape and form our outlook on everything. We have everything that's happening in our world, and sometimes we get discouraged and distracted, complacent, busy, or rushed. Our hearts and minds get far from Jesus and why we first received him. But that doesn't change why he first sought us. Just as you receive Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to. It's like this beautiful moment, a reminder for us. Do you remember why you first received Jesus as your Lord? Maybe for some of us, that might have been a long time ago. Others, not long ago. And maybe even others of you, not quite yet. Today would be a beautiful day to receive Jesus as your Lord. Maybe that's a decision you want to make today. What was it like for you when you received Jesus? What did you experience? What had you known about him, whether that was long ago or not too long ago? What was happening in your life at the time? Paul continues on, continue to live your lives in him, rooted, built up in him, and strengthened in the faith. See, Paul wrote this, he wanted the young and maturing Christians in Colossae to mature in the truth of the gospel of Jesus as Lord. You see, in that time, there were other teachings that really threatened this young and growing church. There was Jewish legalism. There were pagan philosophies. There was even Christian heresy. This Christian heresy diluted the person of Jesus. They said, yes, he has a seat at the table, but not the main person in the story, not the supreme place. It's like they would blend a lot of these philosophies and teachings together. So Paul uses several metaphors here to show that, hey, let's go deeper here. Rooted speaks to this permanence in Christ, done, completed, a once and for all planting of a Christian in Christ. The root goes deeper and stronger as the life source for the plant or tree to be sustained. It's once and for all. Although I did just rip up a dead tree in our backyard. So I think ideally you get the picture there. The rooting is for once and for all. Paul continues on, build up in him, strengthen in the faith as it's continuous process. Not what you should have done or what you needed to do, but what we get to keep on doing, placing one layer on top of the other as a continuous process of growth, rooting, building up, strengthening our faith. See, this may look like many different things for us. Maybe receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Maybe deciding to be baptized. It may be experiencing a filling of this Holy Spirit. It might be a fresh or new commitment to your relationship with him. It might even be something you receive from him, his grace, a gift, maybe even a healing. It may be a new way you begin to understand the character of Jesus, or maybe a new way of understanding ourselves in Christ, who we were created to be. And these might come out of these joyous seasons of life, or it may be one with much grief. It may be from a song, a scripture, a friend, a child, a story that you receive. What might be some moments you remember in your life where you would recall experiencing Jesus that rooted you, built you up, and strengthen your faith? But let's recognize our humanity. Let's not be ignorant of it. Growth isn't always linear, nor are our feelings or our emotions. Being strong in faith sometimes gets misunderstood as an absence of all the feelings we experience on a daily basis. A decision to be baptized is not always the easiest decision for someone to make. Receiving Jesus as Lord faces questions and resistance. Feeling rejected or hurt by people or church communities is a real thing. There's fear, there's worry, there's skepticism. They're probably present as we sit and chat today. Sometimes it's a regular Wednesday for me. But they're also throughout Scripture. See, we receive Christ because he invites everyone to the table just as you are. The Holy Spirit leads us into all truth, and this truth is about who Jesus really is and the truth about who we really are. And then we clothe ourselves with Christ, who is full of truth and love. This is a love that's for us. A love that's patient and kind and faithful, as 1 Corinthians puts it. You see, he died for us because of this love. He resurrected again because of this love. He sent his Holy Spirit to live in and through us because of this love. How beautiful that is. So to a young and maturing Jesus-centered community, Paul says to be overflowing with thankfulness. As renewed humans discovering our way, experience all that we experience and feeling all that we feel, thankfulness allows us to orientate ourselves, who Jesus is and who we are. It's this overflowing of thankfulness, abounding, plentiful, abundant, not like streams, a trickling stream, but an abundant, overflowing river. See, thankfulness can sometimes come across as shallow or something that covers up pain or ignores it or covers up hurt that lays underneath. Like sometimes we feel like thankfulness is a fake it till we make it type of thing. But this rooting and building up, strengthening our faith leaves room for our humanity, and it leaves room for Jesus. It leaves room for him to fill the depths of our being, that solid foundation, the cornerstone of our faith. So much so that when thankfulness is overflowing, it's not skimming a hollow surface. See, gratitude to Jesus is to be one of the main expressions of Christian faith. As we do that in community as well, we celebrate and we give thanks. It orientates ourselves. The internal transformation begins to pour out externally. The party inside is now happening outside. N.T. Wright often refers to thanksgiving as thanksgiving. It's throughout our entire lives. So let's let the thankfulness overflow as we are a young and maturing and growing Christian community. What are you thankful for? What is that gratitude deep within your being and overflowing? Whether that's in a season of grief or a season of joy. Do you remember why you first received Jesus as your Lord? Continue to grow in him knowing that. Maybe you've yet to be baptized in water, and that is a step that you want to make. I know we have more baptisms coming at the end of September. Feel free to reach out to us. We would love to walk that journey with you. As we close together, I want us to read Paul's similar charge to another group of young Christians in neighboring Ephesus. You'll see this a similar call to these young Christians. Ephesians 3 and 16. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Holy Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ. And to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, and may you be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Amen.
Thanks for joining today. If you'd like to get more connected or involved in any way, please reach out. We'd love to help. Have a great week.